Hi, Smart Community friends. I'm back with another bonus episode of the Smart Community Podcast, sharing various guest answers to the question, where to next for smart cities and communities? And this time I'm sharing with you the answers from these guests. Peter Bjorn Larsen from episode 319, Johanna Hoffman from episode 320, Suzanne and Ashish Prabhadesai from episode 321, and Sarah Pink from episode 322. Some themes that come through in the guest answers are around making the future better for the humans and the environment, collaborating and integrating across sectors and organizations, and, of course, using technology intentionally, effectively, and responsibly. We have so many tools and technologies now, and the smart city message has come a very long way in the industries that are connected to it. But we still have a lot of work to do to make sure that we aren't getting caught up in the tech for tech's sake, but making real impact and bringing citizens into the conversation. There are also so many ways we're still working in silos or getting stuck in pilot mode. So continued collaboration and participation is a must within organizations, between organizations, between the public and private sector, and with the general public as well. And of course, what is the point of any of this smart community approach if we aren't aiming to make the future a better place, more livable, accessible, and sustainable for humans and the planet? Sarah tells us about some of the projects her team is working on in this realm, and Johanna reminds us that the decisions that we make now will have ramifications for our children's children. As Susan says, it's about ensuring that people are not slaves of the technology, but are making use of it to drive better outcomes, not just for now, but for the future as well. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
So where to next for smart cities and communities?
More implementation. Yep. Would be nice. So, I think before we, 13 years now, I've been working with this. And at the conference, actually, I don't know if you know Bart Cohen, the Bart Cohen wheel. I talked to him yesterday here in Copenhagen, and he said, yeah, we need to make this happen soon, you know, or else we have to rename it again to something different. But again, I think the visualization with the digital twins, and I think now it's really important. People start to see the importance of using data at least. So I think we'll start to see more impact sooner, a better understanding. And I think it's going to come a lot more with the private sector showing it, you know, how to use that as a tool, and then sharing those ideas and cases with the public sector. Because we've done differently. We have been bombarding the cities with these kind of things. And I actually think we need to bombard the private sector, who's providing solutions for the cities and the citizens, with this instead. So I hope that the future will bring that, that we have take a slightly different approach, and then we start to actually use all the opportunities there is in this in smart communities.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think so. We're getting there. And we're not going away, this
no.
group of smart community bandits.
Yeah,
getting bigger. Right. It's growing, actually.
Yeah. We're
bringing more people into our circle. Where to next for smart communities?
Yeah, for me, I hope that these tools, speculative futures and approaches, can become part of how we plan, we design, we develop cities, that they can become more resilient and smarter. Because again, I think becoming smarter depends more critical thinking about the present and more creative imagination about what lies ahead. And that's really what they help us do. These tools are about embracing the fact that what we call the future, it's a construct. It's an amalgamation of all the assumptions, the interpretations, the inferences that we have based on our experiences and our hopes, really. So rather than presenting ideas of where the future can go as certainties, speculative futures are ways for us to work with those constructs employ dynamic tools so that we can prototype and test, we can iterate, so we can really evaluate the ramifications of where our magicians take us and refine the actions that we want to take accordingly. And I think, you know, in the bigger level of where I hope cities can go over the long term, it's about better collaboration, not just between, you know, institutional officials, private companies, and residents, but also within these different organizations themselves. There's so much siloization out there, right? It's really hard for people to talk to each other across their areas of experience, their expertise, their training. And so I think that feeling into what the future could become, which is what speculative futures are really good at doing. Again, taking the data and translating them into sights, smells, sonic experiences, so that we can start to form personal connections to the stuff and cultivating more narrative synthesis about these trajectories of change. Because when we're talking about just the information, I think it's really easy for us to get into our analytical brains, which are powerful and I think have to be a part of the conversation. But if we can feel first, and ideally sequentially over time, we can start to connect with what these impacts really are for us as humans, for our families, if we have children, for our children, for our children's children. Like, this is a human impact in terms of the decisions that we are making. And so connecting with that aspect, I think, is a way for us to really connect with our common humanity and through that, collaborate more effectively with each other. And when I think about the long term that I hope to see, like, it's about negotiating change by cultivating personal and social resilience. I think imagination can really foster when it's facilitated in a feeling-oriented sort of way.
I don't think I have anything to add to that. I think it's just thinking about things a bit differently, and I like that, but also it's not just separating it out from the human experience, which, you know, is the theme of the podcast, but I think sometimes we can get caught up in just like, okay, what don't we want? Like you said, what, you know, we want to avoid this. But if we actually shift our thinking into, well, what do we want it to be? What do we hope it can be, using that type of language, you humanize the whole conversation, you humanize the process, you humanize, and whether that leads to a project or whatever. Start using this human language, like we said earlier, around the awareness and then focus. Then we can kind of normalize it too. I think normalization of activities and behaviors is really underrated. Like, you know, why do we do certain things? And we like to think that we're all individuals and that we all make our decisions based on, you know, only what we're experiencing, but it is the cultures we live in, the communities we live in. So how can they be the best that they can be, so then we can be the best we can be as well?
Where to next for smart cities and communities?
Collaboration. Unless we can interact and transact as individuals with various entity, it's always going to be an effort that will be really hard to kind of find a breakthrough in the sustainability or the smart initiative that we're trying to achieve. We can have all the technology, but if it doesn't adopt to the human behavior, human cycle, so to speak, I think we will have a challenge. There has to be a government, non-government, individual participation to make this a success. If it is not done with that kind of collaboration, there will always be one entity dictating to the other on what that user journey needs to be, and that may not be the right outcome for that individual on an individual level. So for us, we think the ultimate objective is that the human needs to harness and dictate the technology that works with them, not the other way around.
Nice. I like it. Suzanne, anything you would like to add?
Look, I think with, you know, with technology and with data comes great responsibility as well. So again, tying back into making sure that the future is secure for generations to come, I think it's adding on to what Ashish was saying, it's about ensuring that people are making use of, are not slaves of the technology, but are making use of that to drive better outcomes, not just for now, but for the future as well. Because, I mean, let's face it, once the information's out there and everything's connected, like you were saying, you know, when it comes to utilities, when it comes to everything, organizing your life overall, it does leave you more time to enjoy other things in life, more time and space and headspace for sure to do that. So overall, I think it will be better for
the human race, it'll be better for the environment. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think buying back leisure time needs to be like a key objective for our smart communities. You know, we don't necessarily, like, we all often talk about productivity and, you know, efficiency, but actually it's a mindset shift as well to actually buy back that leisure time where we can.
And particularly through, you know, I think if the one thing COVID has taught us in the last, you know, 2 and a bit years now is that whole separation between work and life has kind of gone away, and people are working longer, harder, not because they need to, but it's just become a way of life, because for 2 years, you know, no one could socialize or anything like that. So if we can kind of take away the pain of one big life event at least, then I think that's a good step in the right direction. But yeah, and I think that's, again, because of the pandemic, I feel like people are taking more risks in terms of tree changes, sea changes, because they know life can be short. So I foresee a lot more movement just globally in the coming years. So we're just at the, I think, the start of that wave, I think, is why hopefully from a timing perspective, it's a good thing.
Where's you next for Smart Cities and Communities?
Yeah, so we've got a whole range of kind of exciting projects that are still ongoing in our lab. Digital Energy Futures project is not finished yet. We'll be launching our home foresighting report soon, which will be one of the, you know, really unique report actually, in that we'll be publishing our foresights about home life to 2030 and 2050. And we've just released our Digital Energy Futures documentary. We make documentary films across several of our projects, which is a really exciting way to communicate our findings to broader audiences, as well as to academics. Of the projects that I'm part of in our lab is our Net Zero Precincts project, which is actually looking at transition to net zero carbon emissions on our Monash Clayton campus. So that's another exciting project to keep an eye on. And of course, all the work that we do, I'm one of the co-investigators in the Centre of Excellence for Automated Decision-Making in Society. At the moment, we've been working on a series of projects around future automated mobilities. So really trying to understand how diverse communities and people will move around in relation to automated technology. So instead of the mainstream vision, which is usually mobilities and cars and transport are designed for the kind of the single white affluent male. Well, we've been working with people who are blind, deaf, and neurodiverse in a series of films created by my colleague filmmaker Jenny Lee. We've been working with a whole range of communities of people who are not normally considered in the design and planning of mobilities, and actually demonstrating how we need to start designing for future automated mobility technology and any technology from the perspective of diversity rather than from the perspective of the already privileged. So those series of projects are ongoing. We've released 4 of the films already. We'll be releasing more films as we go along. So, and at the moment, I'm currently making a film about the future of air technologies, which is again part of our Digital Energy Futures project, and is actually going to address some of those questions and issues I was talking about earlier, about that question of how do we look after ourselves, protect ourselves, and also protect from the air and protect the air from us at the same time. The air is our life source. It's what we breathe. Absolutely central to address that question.
Awesome. Yeah, I love using different, I guess, channels of communication. Documentaries are so interesting. And obviously your background helps with that as well, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's so awesome. And I think using those different channels, you can reach a wider audience, but then you can also reach, I don't know, your intended audience or the same audience, but in different ways, right? It's engaging in a different way. I love that.
Are you looking for an engaging speaker, MC, or facilitator for your next big event? Then we've got you covered. Zoe is a go-to speaker, MC, and conversation facilitator with a difference. She's a master at simplifying the complex and making connections you might never see. Book Zoe for your next event. Email hello@mysmart.community or head over to her speaker page, www.mysmart.community/speaking.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.